Opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of the management of Louisville.am and Veritas New Media, a Louisville.am production.
From the Metro Business Center at Dundee and Douglas in Louisville's Highlands, welcome back to the Startup Podcast. My name is Dan Vonderhout. Each week we talk with an entrepreneur living in Louisville who's working on something or investing in something, or maybe he's worked on lots of things in the past, and we try to learn from what they're doing and what they've done. This week we're talking about beer. I've had a couple of beverage people on here in the past. Todd Jackson from Sterling Beer, one of these resuscitated brands, stops by to talk about how he's taking this venerable old brand and breathing some new life into it, and how he went about that and what his challenges are. So good conversation about what it takes to rebuild something and overcome maybe some reputational challenges from the past. Before we get into the talk with Todd, I want to throw a couple of things out there. Startup weekend coming up September 20th through 22nd. That's at the Nucleus building downtown. There are discounts floating around the internet all over the place. So I'm sure if you looked hard enough, you could find a way to do Startup Weekend for less. And it's a great experience. I did it last spring. I can't do it this fall, and it's kind of bumming me out, man. I just have too much stuff going on that particular weekend. But I highly encourage you, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're a designer or an idea person or a programmer or just a business development type person, sign up at louisville.startupweekend.org. Also coming up on the 23rd, there's an Idea Festival seminar on equity crowdfunding. It's Wyatt, Tarrant, and Combs is putting this on, and there's the Commonwealth Crowdfunding Committee is bringing this thing together. It's 2 o'clock on September 23rd. They're bringing in 3 people to talk about the new equity crowdfunding laws going into effect. It's going to be a really awesome event. It's at the Nucleus Innovation Park downtown again. It's 300 East Market Street. You can sign up on Eventbrite. I'll put a link to this on the Louisville.am Twitter page, where you can follow me at Louisville.am. I'll also put it on my personal Twitter page at Dan Vonderhide. Something in conjunction with Idea Festival, which is a premier event for Louisville. I think if you're interested in startup stuff and crowdfunding and all of the new rules that are going to be laid in front of us, definitely something you want to take part in. $55 a ticket. Look for the link on my social networks and participate in that. Thanks for paying attention to all of that. Todd Jackson from Sterling Beer is up next on the Startup Podcast.
Beer, huh? Why beer?
Why not?
I guess that's the first question.
I guess it all started from the roots of being a home brewer and having an interest in home brewing.
There you go.
Had the idea when Fall City came out and went to the market, the wheels started turning. And about the same time they started working on their project, I started working on mine. It just took us longer to get to market.
Okay. Why was that?
The actual brand was held by a company called ICB Acquisitions, which I guess they acquired it through several different.
So they own the patents and the service marks and all of that legal stuff.
All the legal stuff. Okay. And that's probably why it took so long, was all, legal, sorting out all the legal stuff. And they really did not want to get rid of the brand. They thought they would bring the brand back eventually. And we just kind of pushed for them to let us have the brand and purchase the brand from them.
Let's talk about your past experience as an entrepreneur. This is not your first business.
No.
Right?
No.
What do you do, just to clarify for everybody?
I am the owner of Jackson Tile Company, and it's a family business. And I went to the University of Kentucky and got out in 93 and started working for my dad's business for just a temporary basis.
Right. Isn't that the way it always works?
Yeah, I think it is. But and I had a couple of job offers and just kind of realized that I didn't want to work for someone else. I wanted to have my own business.
Okay.
So, kind of slowly transitioned into purchasing the business from my father. And
so you learned hands-on how to run that thing.
From the ground up.
Okay.
Everything from, installing the tile.
What did you study in school?
I was marketing major at the University of Kentucky.
Oh, well, that helps.
Yeah, it does.
You know, no matter what business you're running, you know how to get it out to the marketplace. That
definitely
that helps.
And it was a small family business, and my father was just kind of getting close to retirement, and didn't know if anyone in the family wanted to be involved, and I definitely had an interest, and just over a period of time just decided to go ahead and purchase the business and take over.
So he's out, you're in,
right.
And that's been how long?
See, I would say he retired in like 98.
All right. You've been doing that full-time ever since.
Right.
And then, was it 2008 or something this came along? 2008, 2009?
Probably late 2009.
The Sterling thing came along.
Right.
And you started brewing beer when? When you were 18?
No, actually not. It didn't start really home brewing until, I think it was 2000, maybe 2008.
I mean, that's a big deal. These days, the home brewing thing and the craft beer thing, it's craft beer week in Louisville. So, this is very timely that we're having this conversation. But was that just part of a movement that you just happened into?
You know, we talked with the home brewing. I talked about it with some friends for probably 2 years. Hey, let's brew some beer. Never had any time to brew beer. Hey, let's brew some beer. We finally went to my old Kentucky Homebrew, which is, you know, they're a supplier of home brewing equipment, and had no idea what we were doing. Got a little guidance down there, purchased some stuff, four or five guys, started using my warehouse to brew some.
The space, that's probably pretty important.
You know, it was nice because it wasn't as messy as doing it in your kitchen or something like that. But
garage.
And did that and really enjoyed it and haven't did it as much as I would hope to here lately just because of the Sterling popping up. But would like to, you know, brew on a regular basis if I could.
So that's 2008. And in 2009, you thought, hey, why not just buy something that's already there?
Well, it kind of came up that way. I started seeing the Fall City pop up, I was like, wow, you know, there's got to be other brands out there that are available.
Several.
Yeah.
Just around Louisville.
Ertl's 92.
That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah, and Fair Beer. And
what about Little Kings? Are Little Kings still around?
It's
been so long since
I... that's funny because I remember those when I was around that age of 21. But
Around that age.
But Little Kings, I'm not sure if they still brew it. Last I heard, it was being brewed in Cincinnati.
Yeah. I thought it was a Cincinnati brand, but...
Right. Well, okay. A lot of beers are contract and brewed in Cincinnati. I know that. Sam Adams, a big operation it is, they still have contract brewing arrangements with breweries in Cincinnati.
Gotcha. Okay. So 2009, you think, what about Sterling? I had my fair share of Sterling when I was in college. And what's the process of finding all of this out?
Well, at that point, I... look for some guidance, and someone was more into the legal aspect. My brother's got a background in legal background, and we started researching and look for trademarks and who held them, and then we started moving forward, making phone calls.
Is he your business partner?
He is. He helped me get it started.
Okay.
At that point, it was a long period of time of finding out who to talk to, and slowly start working on trying to acquire the brand, and that's when they really did not want to give up the brand. They talked about bringing back several brands and making us kind of a sales team to bring them back to the area, and we weren't
like a marketing arm or something.
Yeah, we were not interested in
that. It's not a local company, is it?
No, it is not. It's out of Pittsburgh Brewing, owned Sterling and Fall City.
It's changed hands a ton of times, right?
A lot of times.
Yeah.
A lot of times. And they held it, and I'm not sure the exact day, but they went bankrupt and it was acquired by a company called ICB Acquisitions, and they held these names, these brands.
I have to assume they have more brands that they're holding on to, right?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
All right. Just in other brands from other markets or something else.
Right, right.
Sterling was started in Evansville, correct?
It actually started in Louisville.
Oh, okay.
And it was for a short period of
time. Straighten
me out. Well, it was in Louisville for a short period of time. Everyone, you know, recognizes it as an Evansville beer. It was just a short 14-month period. And it was actually, the story goes, two brothers flipped a coin. One went to Evansville, one stayed in Louisville, one brewed Fall City, one was brewing Sterling.
Oh, that's not a made-up story like the Twix brothers who have, you know, one brother liked the peanut butter Twix, the other liked the caramel Twix. I watch too much television, evident. Evidently. So what's the, when you got into this thing, what was the toughest part of starting it up? I mean, the brand is there. People are familiar with Sterling, but you've reformulated.
Yeah, and this, so, what we did about that is we just had to decide, did we want to come back as Sterling Beer, the exact recipe it was before? Do you want to come back as Sterling Beer, an ale, which a lot of these brands have come back as something that they weren't on the market?
Yeah.
And we decided we wanted to come back as a Pilsner. And that's what, you know, Sterling was a premium Pilsner beer. It probably over the years became more of an adjunct economy beer.
Right.
And so we had to find, I guess one of the most difficult things was finding someone that could brew it to get our volume up to where eventually we would like to build a brewery. But find someone that was capable of brewing it. And also, I guess, finding that if it would work out, I guess I'm getting a little turn around here, but finding if you can find someone close enough to brew it, that you can transport it, all the things that would, you know, be a challenge in the beer business.
All right, so it's, you had to decide the flavor, keep the brand consistent. Like, your website has old timey Sterling stuff on it, right? Like,
yeah,
you're drawing into the from
we're the drawing
history
into
of
the retro play. There's a lot of people that love the brand. I hear stories all the time. Hey, that was the first beer I ever had when I was.
My dad drank Sterling.
Exactly.
My dad drank Wiedemann. That was his.
And
brand.
Then Wiedemann's back. Wiedemann is recently come back
is
to the
it?
Market in Cincinnati.
Oh, how about
Cincinnati.
That?
Yeah.
All right.
So, you know, that was a challenge, and we wanted to make sure that we did it right. If we were going to do it, we wanted to make the best Pilsner that we could make. And you know, if you're familiar with the craft beer market, there's not a lot of Pilsners on the craft beer market in the Louisville area. But they're coming this way. We feel like we're a little bit ahead of the curve on that. But so we went to the Siebel Institute in Chicago and worked with John Hannafin, who's a director of education up there now. He was been a world beer judge, and we developed a recipe that we thought, after tasting and practicing on several different Pilsners around.
Hey, that's not a fun project. But a terrible way to spend the day.
Right. We found what we liked and started moving forward from there.
So I guess just as a side note, the differences between Pilsners and lagers and ales and all that stuff, I'm going to recommend everybody go to LouisvilleBeer.com, also on the Louisville.am podcast network, to find out all about that stuff. And you know, they're going to do a Beer 101 segment on their podcast coming up. So that's all stuff that, you know, what's a big brand Pilsner that they can? What's it comparable to?
I would say this beer is comparable to Stella.
Okay,
probably,
gotcha.
Probably a little bit hoppier. And
Stella is a Pilsner.
Stella is a lager.
Okay.
There's only truly one Pilsner. It's from Pils, Czech Pils.
Okay.
An ale is fermented at higher temperatures, and Pilsner's lager beer is lower temperature.
I don't want to get off track with the business part of things.
Right.
We could sit and talk about beer and drink it all day long, but we won't do that. So it wasn't actually the acquisition of the brand. It was finding somebody that could brew it and bring this thing to life. What about, and you know, talk about this as freely as you're willing to, like the financing of all this stuff. Was buying the brand one thing, and then you got to hire somebody to brew this stuff, right?
Right. And I think the biggest decision that was made was, okay, we've got the brand secured. Where do we go now? Do we, you know, where do we find the you know, the money to back this? Do we want to just put all our personal money in, or do we want to find investors?
And barter out tile business.
the thing that interests me was that, you know, I wanted to enjoy this project, and I wanted to not get to the point where I was worried about, hey, when's the next batch of beer going to be ready so we can sell it?
Right.
And so, you know, I went out and found investors, which was very, very simple.
Was it?
It was not a problem at all. It probably was done within a couple of days.
Wow.
And I think it's just the
either you know somebody really, really connected in, or you just know a lot of beer drinkers.
And probably the latter.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a business that I think a lot of people have an interest in, and we wanted to form a group of some guys that are just brand ambassadors that were interested in being a part of it.
It's sort of a boom industry.
Absolutely. Like
especially the craft beer thing, which is, you know, it's just sort of coming around and since probably the time you started brewing beer. So have there been man, you started this right when the economy started going south.
Yes, I did.
Is that, I mean, is that one of the biggest challenges you've had to face, both with just the general economy, but the, I guess the industry probably grew.
The industry
when
is
times
growing.
Times are hard. People drink more, right?
Yeah, and the craft beer industry has grown every year. I mean, 10, 12, 15%. And it's really a business that's not too affected by the economy. People are going to consume, you know, beer at pretty much any time. But that, now this part of the country, it's really, really growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can see from the last few years all the breweries that have popped up in Lexington and Louisville, just the startups that are actually brewing their own beer. And
yeah, just the little guys around town.
Right.
So it's a friendly business, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, everybody's, you're all buddies.
I tell you, we have found that out. It's you can get answers from nearly anyone in the across the country in the business.
Well, a rising tide lifts all ships, you know.
Yeah, it's everyone's been willing to help. We haven't had any resistance.
Especially in bourbon country. I mean, you think, yeah. Geez. So if the business or the industry is growing, that hasn't been a challenge. What has been the biggest challenge? Getting this thing to market and getting it publicized, I guess, or advertised? Or?
You know, when we came to the market, we came with a test batch to 4 or 5 bars. And I say a test batch, it was the same exact recipe as we have now, but it was unfiltered. And we just wanted to kind of get a feel of what, you know, the feedback from customers, and didn't want to grow too fast. As soon as we knew that it was the beer we were going to go with, we changed to Upland Brewing for larger batches, because you can't just pick up the phone and say, hey, brew me a small batch. These are big operations. So
where is Upland?
Upland's in Bloomington.
Bloomington, right. Okay.
So once we knew we had the beer, we wanted to filter it. We were ready to move forward. We went with Upland, which that alone may have been the hardest part of it, is getting Upland on board.
Okay.
Because they had never did a contract brew before.
Mm-hmm.
And that was several months of just, you know, trying to contact them. And we hit it at a great time because they were growing and, you know, as we were growing and ready to brew.
How did you collect the feedback? Like you took 4 or 5 bars around town. Did you just sit there and ask people what they thought?
Basically. I mean, it's, you know, nothing sophisticated. Just, you know, hey, what do you think of the beer? Taking, you know, some opinions and everything that everyone seemed to love the taste of the beer. The one thing that we wanted to do is, okay, where do we go now that we're unfiltered? We need to filter this beer. And it got us to the point of the beer that we really wanted to be at. When you filtered the beer, it took a little bit of the fruitiness flavor out of it. And we knew that would happen. And we have not, you know, made an alteration since then.
Did you get any feedback that really just changed what you were going to do or how you were going to do it?
No, we really haven't.
Okay.
You know, like I said,
is that a continual process for you? Like listening and
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. But we're pretty confident this beer is not changing. We knew that we were going to be at the front end of the Pilsner market in the craft industry. I'm not sure how many you can find, but there's not many craft beer Pilsners on the market in Louisville at all.
All right. So that's your niche, so to speak.
Right.
And you're just
and you know, we want there to be more Pilsners. So it gives people, you know, understanding that, okay, this is a craft beer, and that's probably one big hurdle is it was Sterling, and you know, similar to what Fall City was. It was an economy beer.
Right. It had a reputation.
It had a reputation, and that's, you know,
Fall City. Is that still a challenge, the reputational
Absolutely.
Thing?
Absolutely.
I mean, for some people, even for Fall City, you know, they've been on the market for a long time. So when you say, you know, I ask for Fall City wherever I go, they're like, oh, man, really? I'm like, you don't understand. Like, they just still don't know the story all these years later.
Right. And I think that's something you're always going to have to deal with a little bit.
Okay.
And it's been great because we kind of, although we started almost at a similar time, they were on the market probably 2 years ahead of us, so we could kind of see how the market reacted and how
learn from them.
And learn from, you know, how they came to market.
Well, I want to talk about your organization as well. And I mean, you're running two businesses, right?
Yes.
Do you have partners on board for Sterling that are looking over day to day stuff, or is that your role?
That's my role, but okay. I've got guys that would be willing to, you know, do anything that I need, you know, have done.
How many people are in the company or the organization or however you want to term it?
You know, there's I would say about a dozen guys. I don't have a number right in front of me, about a dozen guys that are involved.
and they're doing office stuff.
They're not selling. They're brand ambassadors. I would say they're out promoting, you know, when they can. But they're, as far as going out and selling and contacting bars, that's either done by me or our distributor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The distributor. See, I always leave that part of it out.
That's a big part of it because, yeah, you know, you've got to find a distributor that's excited about the brand, willing to take the brand to bars that, you know, this is a perfect situation because it's, you know, Kentucky's a 3-tier system. I can't, you know, just sell the beer, deliver the beer, and that's it. It would be a bigger operation and deal with all that because there's always, you know, collecting money.
So one of your expenses is having to pay the distributor,
right,
for whatever it is they sell,
which,
right,
a commission. Well, no, it's not done like that. It's all sold to the distributor.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, and they place an order. It's sold to the distributor. Distributor in turn sells it to the to the customer.
All right, whew, man. All right, and then the customer drinks all of it and then gets rid of it that night, one way or another.
That's what we hope.
It's a job well done. So, how do you spend your day then? Like, if you're running both of these things, maybe the tile business runs itself at this point. I have no idea. But how do you spend your day and prioritize what it is you're supposed to be doing?
That changes every day. I get up in the morning, I guess.
How do you manage that without freaking out?
I just like to stay busy, honestly. I mean, okay, I've got own investment property. I stay on the phone a lot.
You're a landlord too?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So I stay on the move and thank goodness there's cell phones.
I guess so. So you're just like on call all the time. Do you have a daily list? I'm just trying to figure out, how does a guy that now has three businesses because of the rental property thing, how do you manage your time to make sure that everything is being done?
You know, I guess if you broke it down, I'm probably very organized, but it might be my way of being organized. Just right, taking notes and knowing, you know, where I have to go next and planning the day the night before. But a lot of it's on the fly. You know, I've been in the tile business for a long time and know the business real well.
How much do you, on a percentage scale, like how much do you delegate off to other people and how much do you take on yourself?
Well, I've got guys that work for me in the tile business have been fantastic, been there for years. So that helps a lot.
So you just know you can rely on them. Take care of this. I got to go drink some beer with some people and learn.
Learn more about it.
Yeah, learn about, you know, the difference between an APA and an IPA.
Right, right.
and then you got to play golf, of course, too.
I actually don't play any golf.
Yeah, okay, me either. It occurred to me that I was spending way too much time and way too much money doing something that really ticked me off at the end of the day.
We should play together.
It was awful. Like, if I'm going to spend 5 hours doing something,
should enjoy it.
Exactly. I'd rather create something. I'm a guitar player, so it's kind of, that's what I spend my time doing. So Sterling is just, it's the rollout this summer.
It's
the first time I noticed it and it came across my radar.
We started, the first few bars were in March, and
that was the test batch.
Test for about a month or so.
All right.
And then started hitting it a little harder in April and just started growing. And before we knew it, we were in over 60 bars.
Wow.
And now some of those, we're not anymore. A new trend in the craft beer is to have a rotating tap.
Sure, yeah.
So you're on, you're off.
Yeah.
We started growing that, you know, that way, and then got a lot of calls to come back to Evansville, come to Northern Kentucky.
Sure, that's what my next thing is, like, where's the footprint at this point, and how far out do you plan to?
Well, right now we're in Louisville. I guess 2 weeks ago, we launched in a few places in Evansville.
This is all on the distributor, so for the most part?
That's what makes it work for me, is there's a distributor involved. And
so that's a very important partnership.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Very important. And we're in Northern Kentucky. We'll probably launch in some bars there next week. They've already got the product and just kind of doing some pre-launch things. The rest of Kentucky is through a distributor, Clark Distributors, and they also go down south. So, you know, Sterling was known as the beer of the South, America's oldest southern beer. Hmm. We look to go more down south.
So that's sort of, well, I guess, I don't know. I mean, when I think craft beer, you think sort of locally or regionally or something. Is that bucking a trend to try to grow that?
Not really. You've got, in Atlanta, you've got Sweetwater. They are becoming a regional beer. I mean, it's in Lexington. It's in, I'm not sure if it's distributed in Louisville yet or not, but I think it's more, you know, to stay in a region, maybe so, but okay. I mean, you know, you would not believe the emails and the calls I get to bring Sterling to Town X. I mean, it's just, I'm surprised, but it's spanned a lot of the South, a lot of the, you know, the East Coast and as far as Arkansas.
You're clearly in this for the long term. Like, you didn't just buy this to have a little bit of fun with it and then get rid of it.
Right.
So at what point does Sterling take over full time and you think, okay, tile business is, maybe I need to pass this on to somebody, you have kids or something. Maybe you just wait it out till they get older.
Well, no, it's kind of a day-to-day thing to see how it grows. The tile business has been fantastic business and it's been a family business and have no intentions. It's the number one priority.
Okay.
As Sterling grows, if the opportunity presents itself. And
if somebody were to offer you now to say, oh my gosh, he resuscitated this thing, he's got some momentum, let's say one of the larger breweries or something wanted to buy you, when do you know how to sell that thing to exit out? Is that your plan?
No, that's not the plan, but I think that probably everyone that's been in this business has probably thought of that because, you know, and we're by no means a Goose Island, but Goose Island was purchased by Budweiser. So I guess you would always think that that's somewhere down the road is a possibility. But the plan is to get production up to where we can build a brewery here in town, a brew house, maybe a small brew house, and just have something. I'm 42. Maybe when I'm 52, I'm possibly consider doing Sterling a little on a full-time basis. But okay. It's nothing. When as busy as I am, I think about it day by day.
You got a way to. Ways to grow.
Right. To, yeah, okay. Absolutely.
Well, how, I guess sterlingbeer.com is the website. Is that where people find out how to buy it?
On the website, you can see the locations. We try to keep that updated as best as possible where we've been at. And, that would probably be the best source to go.
And Twitter, of course.
Absolutely.
Right? I just followed you on Twitter today.
Great.
Yeah. And that's at Sterling Beer.
At Sterling Beer, yeah.
Okay. Where else? Any other place?
Instagram.
Oh, wow.
And which is, a little bit over my head.
Well, I don't have an iPhone or an Android. I have a Windows phone, and they don't have Instagram for okay. Windows phone.
Because, and Facebook, yeah, which yeah. I don't even have a Facebook account for myself. So this is all new to me, too.
Okay. Well, you know, welcome to that. There's a lot of people out there that would love to help you with that. So, Todd, I appreciate you coming in and filling us in.
I appreciate you.
Okay, man.